in Coeur d'Alene at the Crux Center of Forever Plaid. And let's get in the mood right now with a song we'll all recognize from that era.
Show when we were, you know, alive, and now that we're not, we're hoping to do the show that we would have done if we could have when we were, which we're not, so we didn't, and now we can. You see, it has to do with all this astrotechnical stuff, like the stars being in conjunction with the position of the planets, and the sound of our voices, combined with the expanding holes in the ozone layer, make it possible for us to do the show that we couldn't, so we didn't, and now we can. Anyway, we're here, you're there, and I'm Sparky.
I'm Smudge.
No, in the microphone.
Jinx.
He was my stepbrother.
Frankie.
His real name's Francis.
And on the piano we have...
Oh, I can't remember her name. You ask her.
What? Jenny, what's your name?
Jenny.
Jenny.
We don't really know her. She came with the room.
Hi, Jenny.
Anyway, we've waited a lifetime to answer that one musical question.
Ooh, which one will the fountain bless? Which one will the fountain bless? Three coins in the fountain, through the ripples how they shine.
They are Plaid, and from top to bottom, tenor Jeff Rowden, and then tenor Jad Davis, baritone Casey Reha, and then Henrik McNulty as the bass, and Jinx, Frankie Sparky, and Smudge, respectively. And the band, which had what, died in an airplane crash or some one of those things that rock and roll and other people did in the 50s and 60s, yeah, in Iowa and places like that. And so so it is the reincarnation thing, not unlike Carousel with its bit of reincarnation that drama can clearly do. Okay, well, let's what I kind of want to determine here, are the band members just generic band members, or are they unique characters and people?
Yeah.
And so let's make them each stick up for themselves as unique characters of people. And, I don't care where we start. Let's start with Jeff. We start with the tenor. So, Jeff, you are the person named Jinx?
Yes.
Okay, so tell me about yourself.
Well, myself, I'm
from the Seattle area, but
no,
Jinx...
No, I mean your character.
We're very synonymous. I guess Jinx is like sort of the very young, socially awkward bit who just really loves music, and I think that he was sort of roped in by his stepbrother, who we'll meet in a minute, but... Yeah, he's sort of the childlike wonder and the awkwardness and just unbridled love for exactly what he's doing. And he feels home in singing, and that's sort of the only place he feels natural being. But, yeah.
And so let's meet the stepbrother, Casey Reyna, as Sparky. To stick up for yourself.
Yeah, Sparky is definitely the most extroverted of all the guys in the group, I believe. He brings a lot of energy to it, a professionalism in addition to him making fun of a lot of stuff. Mm-hmm. But I think the secret is that he uses his humor to diffuse a lot of the situations where he feels uncomfortable or he feels uneasy. And the time he feels truly comfortable is when he's blending with these four guys and making this awesome music.
And what's his relationship with his self-conscious geeky brother?
You know, they're stepbrothers. And so, like, he makes it very clear. He says, like, In the show, Jinx tells the story where he says, well, my father, and then Sparky keeps interjecting with my stepfather, and then he says, my mom, and Sparky says, my real mom. And it's, you know, there's obviously, I think there's some uneasiness between the two of them still, but they are constantly reminded through their music and through their storytelling that they actually really did care for one another, and they really want each other to succeed, not just as a group, but as individuals. Especially in this show.
And let's go to Henry McNulty, whom we usually have sitting at the piano during these times. And here you are in the show. Welcome to the stage, Henry.
Thank you.
And I'm going to project, and you can tell me I'm totally wrong, but if your character's name is Smudge and if you're the bass, is there some sense of buffoon or something to your character?
Not that's written in. Maybe I've added it myself.
Well, no,
you guys will have to tell me.
Then I probably guessed wrong. So who is Smudge?
Well, Smudge is the, I think, fairly introverted worrywart of the group.
Oh, I see. Okay.
The name, actually, in the backstory that doesn't really make it into the show, but that is for us as performers, the name comes from him being left-handed and smudging the paper when he writes.
Oh.
Which makes its way into the show by him being a bit confused about left and right over the course of it. So
so there's a little bit of comedy implication in your character that way. Okay, nice. And then to Jed Davis stepping forward out of his director position, usually as Frankie. Tell me about being on stage before you tell me about Frankie.
It's awesome being on stage again. All I have to worry about is me. And there's a lot to worry about in this show because we never leave the stage.
And so what about Frankie compared to all these other three people?
Sure, I think it's wonderful. In a show that's really foundationally about harmony, Frankie is the one who really strives to create harmony amongst his friends and his brethren. The creation of this music is such an important and formative part of who these characters are. And Frankie is the one who sort of, you know, drives that bus. He drives the boat and makes sure that everybody sort of works together. If there is any tension, he really tries to diffuse it in a kind way. You know, he's really constantly trying to work toward a positive interaction with the audience. Basically he's the showrunner of the group.
So, What we're talking about here is bands, is ensembles, is the whole thing of musical ensembles. And we who have lived our lives in musical ensembles, I know a long-term group I was like had its 7-year itch and had its different things. Does much of that interpersonal thing of the four individuals trying to be an ensemble, is that important to this show? Is that a significant part of the idea of this show? I'll go back to Tyler for this.
For sure, yeah. I mean, I think as much as they are individuals, they really make themselves whole by being together. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a big reason that the show is there, is so that they can all come back, finish this show together, and then leave how they always wanted to leave. Mm-hmm. So yes, they're definitely big individuals with their own foibles and foils. But the biggest thing that puts them together is this harmonious group.
Mm-hmm. I have a big monologue at the end of the show that I won't spoil too much, but there's a line that I say that's one perfect chord, one perfect moment. That's all anyone has a right mm-hmm. to ask for. And that I think that's what any musician is looking for, is that high of just perfect music for one moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is Forever Plaid, which is opening tomorrow. It runs with its Thursday opening. It runs through Sunday. And then for the following two weekends, it's Wednesday through Sunday at Coeur d'Alene Summer Theater, which is at the Kroc Center. I've never seen the show, so just kind of technical things, since it's about reincarnations, about coming back to do a concert. How is the first 3/4 of the times in this theatrical piece spent? Is it in flashback? Is it in how? Kind of give me the practical side of how this works.
Yeah, it's all in real time. So what we see is their performance as it is right now when they get pushed back into this kind of semi-afterlife. And so we're seeing the show as they wanted to perform it, along with all of these internal monologues, that dialogues between them when they're trying to remember the moves, and they have, you know, scenes in between the songs where they're hushedly talking about not remembering the moves or their foils and their characters' problems. And so we're seeing it all happen as it's happening, no flashbacks or anything like that.
Nice. Okay, let's do another piece from the show, and that is a medley. We'll send the gentleman out. And again, these things explain themselves pretty well. But how far into the show is this medley of 16 Tons and Chain Gang?
Yeah, this gets about halfway through the show. This is right before the first act ends, and this is once they've started to get their feet again. Once they've started to push past a little bit of the anxiousness of doing the show again, and this is when they start to come alive a little bit.
Well, we'll go back to the studio and hear these four gentlemen and their pianist, Jenny Twitchell, in this medley.
We work hard to sing about men who love, but we also love to sing about men who work hard. Some people say a man is made out of mud. A poor man's made out of muscle and blood. Muscle and blood and skin and bones. A mind that's weak and a back that's strong. You load 16 tons and what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, 'cause I can't cope. I owe my soul to the company store. I was born one morning when the sun didn't shine. I picked up my shovel and I walked to the mine. I loaded 16 tons of number 9 coal, and the straw boss said, well, bless my soul, you load 16 tons. And what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, 'cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store. Huh.
Huh. Huh. I can hear him saying, huh. Ha. Working on the chain gang, yeah. That's the sound of the men working on the chain gang. All day long they work so hard till the sun is going down. Working on the highways and byways and wearing frown. That's the sound of the men working on the chain gang. That's the sound of the men working on the chain gang. I can hear them saying, my, 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 my work is so hard. Who give me water? I'm so thirsty.
If you see me coming, better step aside. A lot of men didn't, a lot of men died. I got one fist of iron, the other steel. If the right don't
get you, then the left one will. You load 16 tons, and what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, 'cause I can't go. I owe my soul.
In the studio, that medley of 16 Tons and Chain Gang, the lead singer in 16 Tons, Henry McNulty, and the lead singer in Chain Gang was Jad Davis, two of the four members of Forever Plaid. And then it was Casey Reyna playing the I forget the name of that instrument.
It's a reha, and it's
the melodica.
Reha. Casey Reha.
Happens a lot.
playing the melodica. And so let's talk about the process of putting this together, I guess, musically and dramatically. Again, I'll open with Tyler. Are you also the music director, or is there a separate music director?
How's Jad. Jad was our music director along with Jenny Twitchell, who's our pianist.
The two of them, two of them doing it. So did you kind of get the music together first, then deal with the acting, or what?
Yeah, this show was hard. I mean, it's, you know, 22 songs of just straight music and almost all choreography. So we did structured it by doing music rehearsals, focusing on that, and then doing the choreography for that song and kind of went along that. And so the staging really came at the end to like piece everything together, which is great because we hired four really great actors, so it didn't take that much.
Sure. There you go. Well, and so then Jad and the rest of you are just kind of like putting any band together, almost like living the plot of the thing, really?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. That's actually one of the things we keep commenting on, like, wow, we really are our characters in a lot of ways. the musically, it's been a dream because we're all trained musicians. I mean, there was not really even much of a time of like plunking out notes. It's, you know, we all came in and we sort of had an idea. Obviously, we had to, you know, zhuzh and work on some stuff. And most of our music rehearsals was about balance and cutoffs. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's been about making art.
Like any vocal quartet's going to do.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. And then, so then once the music gets together, then talk about pulling together the finished product.
Sure. This show, actually, it's done as a lot of small shows sometimes, and we're kind of doing it as a bigger show. There's a lot of choreography. There's a lot of tech, a lot of magic that happens. And so once we got the music and the choreography and the staging together, it was putting it on the stage and, you know, bringing all that tech stuff in, which has gone surprisingly well. I think that we're moving really, really quickly, and it's a lot of fun to make art with you guys.
Yeah. And so this is the show Forever Plaid, and you opened by talking about the deeper messages and the things that go along. Any more you want to give away on that subject of the serious side of what seems like just a cute little vehicle for a male vocal group?
Right. I mean, I think that's what makes this show unique, is that on the surface it is just a, you know, another jukebox musical, but it's really not. Once you get into it and you find that each of these characters has their individual things that they're dealing with, all this emotional baggage. And that's really what we talked about from day one, is that everybody has this baggage that they're taking with them, even after their death. And so, to me, a reason that they've come back is that they need to reconcile and accept that baggage and then move past it. And that's kind of what we're dealing with in their trajectory of the show, is being able to find those baggage points and then push them away and shed them. And so we're dealing with that physically, with props, and emotionally with their character arcs, which is really fun.
Nice. Forever Plaid at Coeur d'Alene Summer Theater. It's the opening of the season, and so that's going on. It opens tomorrow night and runs through July 1st. And then the other main stage plays, Guys and Dolls, which opens on July 12th and runs for 3 weeks, and Legally Blonde, which opens on August 9th and runs for 3 weeks. Jad, tell me about the two staged readings of Last of Red Hot Lovers and Mousetrap, Last of Red Hot Lovers on June 19th.
Yeah, they're actually Last of the Red Hot Lovers is a Neil Simon show. It's one of the I would say it's less well known. It's not like The Odd Couple where everybody sort of just knows it. It's a really funny comedy about a guy, a middle aged man, who's sort of putting himself back out there into the dating world and all of its pitfalls and things that can go wrong, and they do. So that one, yeah, that one's that's a laugh out loud comedy. The Mousetrap is Agatha Christie's classic mystery, and we will not ever spoil the ending. And that's one of the rules of that show. It's the longest running show in West End, and you cannot spoil the ending. So you got to make sure you see it one night only, and then don't tell your friends how it ends.
Perfect. And so, what's the idea of doing those two one-offs?
I always like to do shows. We've been doing these one-off stage readings since I've come on, I like exploring some of the classic shows. You know, we do so much of the theater that happens in Coeur d'Alene is musical theater, and we don't get a chance to really learn like what are the plays that are out there. And you know, for the summertime, I typically pick shows that are a little bit less heavy-handed, a little bit more about comedic elements. I mean, The Mousetrap is a murder mystery, but it's a really funny murder mystery. It's sort of in that very English, witty sort of way, along the lines of like the 39 Steps. And Last of the Red Hot Lovers, like I said, it's a laugh-out-loud comedy. So you can go see that, and then you can go hang out on the lake, and the day doesn't feel disjointed.
Nice. And completely off topic, but just for a moment before we revert back to the show, anybody want to make any comments about any results of the Tonys?
I'm out.
I mean, not the presentations, but the winners or losers or anything like that. None of you were Tonyophiles.
Probably Robert De Niro was the biggest winner for me.
Well, of course, there's that. But beyond that, anything? Yeah.
I think there was a discussion of talking about like what is the ultimate message that the Tonys are trying to bring out to America, and I know that Tyler, Jeff, Jad and myself were having this conversation as we were driving to the studio today, and we were talking about how they're talking about inclusivity. They're talking about how they want to make the smaller, more chamber shows as relevant, the more obscure, not as commercially accessible shows to be as popular and as well known as the big shows out there like Wicked or, you know, your other big shows.
Sure.
Can't think of any right now.
Well, yeah, that's a good observation about that. Yeah, okay, well, let's send the band back out. I can call you a band, can I?
We're a boy quartet.
A band of people. Okay, and so our vocal quartet going back into the studio for their closer, No Not Much, and director Tyler Krieg, what about this?
This one's a fun one. This is, the boys all kind of struggle in their past lives with love. And so they have a couple of love songs, and this one is one of their biggest love songs about that.
Okay, so we go back to the studio for that, the quartet from Forever Platt.
You guys want to sing a real love song?
Which one?
I love that song.
It's my favorite.
I don't want my arms around you, no, not much. I don't bless a day I found you, no, not much. I don't need you like the stars don't need the sky. I won't love you longer than the day I die. You don't please me when you squeeze me, no, not much.
My hand's the lightest from your very slightest touch.
Baby, if you ever go, could I take it? Maybe so. But would I like it? No, not much. Doesn't cost a dime. I don't.
No, Not Much, sung by the four gentlemen of Forever Plaid, from top to bottom, Jeff Rowden, Jed Davis, Casey Reha, and Henry McNulty. And then along with Jenny Twitchell, the pianist, who also has a certain amount of appearing on stage and interacting with the four gentlemen that are on stage for the whole time. Forever Plaid opening this Thursday night, 7:30, Thursday, Friday, Saturday at 7:30, Sunday at 2, and then the following 2 weeks, it's Wednesday through Saturday night at 7:30 and Sunday at 2, and that's at the Salvation Army Croc Center in Coeur d'Alene for the opening of Coeur d'Alene Summer Theater. Throughout the summer, we'll be bringing you all the theatrical openings that we're told about, that we know about, and that we can bring to you. So that will be that.